I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Here's Kevin Saul from Wichita State Athletics. Someday to be a Hall of Famer, I'm sure. Kevin, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. The Shockers off to a 4-0 start in men's basketball. Last night was a little dicey. I don't think we quite expected that game to be dicey. What did you see? What kind of growth can a team get from surviving and winning a game that we kind of all thought they'd win a little more handily?
Yeah, I think I'm still, my heart rate's still coming down after last night, guys, but it was a grinder of a game. Monmouth came in at 0-4. I think they're 258 in KenPom. Clearly they played well and gave us all we could handle for about 38 minutes. And I think there's a couple things at play last night. Battled just a couple of injuries. Obviously, I think a game like last night speaks to the importance of having a couple of big men, particularly Quincy and what he means to this team in terms of the inside-out game and rebounding and wiping away shots and all those things certainly is an important part of that. But the other element to it, guys, is I was really proud of this team last night driving home because – in the first half, we were 11 of 21 from the free throw line. And as you guys know, that stuff is contagious. It's really hard to get yourself out of a slump. And they responded in the second half, hitting 9 of 10. We were out-rebounded. I think we were minus 10 at half, and then we out-rebounded them in the second half. And so I think our staff and our players at halftime being in the locker room were composed, were poised, talked about what needed to happen and went out and made it happen. You have to give some credit to Monmouth, but at the end of the day, I think you could see that we weren't firing on all cylinders last night. And so to be able to win a game when you're not firing on all cylinders, certainly you'd like to think would pay some dividends down the road when you're faced with, man, our shots are just not falling. I think we had 8 uncontested shots that just didn't fall in the first 10 minutes of the game. So you're going to have nights like that, but they found a way to win, and certainly we're appreciative and thankful.
So I'll jump right in. We were talking in the first segment about the Atlantic 10, and I'm not going to ask you about that because you're in a conference already. But I just wanted to know, outside of the partnership itself with a conference, what are some factors that you feel good about when you're in a conference or that you look for specifically? How much, financial viability and the competition aspect? What are some of those factors?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, at least with two of the significant ones, Jeff. You want to be in a position competitively where you're not just winning a bunch of championships, but that your programs are actually growing in that environment. And I applaud Wichita State for venturing out of the Missouri Valley Conference and into a much more expensive and much more competitive league in the American, because the way I look at it is you just created a runway for your programs to develop and grow over X number of years that may not have existed in a different environment. You hear coaches talk about it all the time with young people. If you're the best player on your AAU team, you're probably on the wrong team. in terms of personal growth and development. So that's the concept that I think is really important in a league is the struggles and the discomfort allow you to grow and become better as a program. So I think that piece is important. Obviously, the financial component's really important, particularly in today's day and age with retroactive NIL, the house settlement, the roster maximums and the revenue share pieces that we're going to be looking at. Guys, for us, that's a number that's close to $7 million in new dollars for us. So we're currently a $27 million budget as we evaluate the house settlement to position our program in a spot to be competitive. We're going to need to be about another plus seven. And so we've got to do some really good things in terms of generating new revenue streams, being good stewards with the dollars that we already have. And the conference is certainly a part of that. I think conference leadership is really important, how they put on championships, the experience for the student athletes in the championship environment that the league provides is really important. Leadership at the top from a commissioner level. So there's a lot of ways to evaluate that. And I would tell you that the Commissioner Pernetti has been really innovative and forward-thinking in terms of trying to compel our league forward from a revenue and visibility standpoint. I'm excited about what's to come.
Kevin Saul with us, Wichita State Athletic Director. You address some of the finance and revenue stuff that I'm curious about. And with men's basketball, the crowds have not been great so far. I'm sure they haven't been what you would like them to eventually be. Do you feel in some ways, Kevin, with everything that's happened in the past 5 or 6 years with Shocker basketball, that in some ways you're rebuilding a fan base?
I think that's very much the case, Bob. I think it's a really good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. We've consistently this year had somewhere in the range of, you know, 5,800 to 6,500 tickets out. Getting that many to show is a whole nother conversation. So we have a lot of folks. Last year, I think we were 96% sold on the lower bowl. So the support has been there and it continues to be there. We've got to produce a product and a game day experience that our people want to be a part of. I think in some cases, Bob, we are our own worst enemy in terms of how easy it is to consume games on streaming on your phone or at home or whatever the case may be. And so we've got to create an environment people want to be a part of. I think this is a quality team. I think it's a good product, if you will. I think, and it's an exciting brand of basketball. Guys, we ran across a stat yesterday that I think you might be intrigued because we've talked a lot about recruiting and retention and the transfer portal and how important spending NIL dollars on retention is really important for a lot of reasons. But we ran across this yesterday that, you know, several schools across the country, based on the COVID conditions, have multiple student athletes on their roster that are playing fifth, sixth, and even seventh seasons. Wichita State is tied for second in the country with seven student athletes in their fifth year or higher of college basketball. So I think age, experience certainly matters. Those are things that you can work on through retention, but also through the portal. But I think that retention is important for our fan base too, because they want that connection with our players. There's certainly been some environmental factors here at Wichita State that is making us have to rethink building a fan base. But there's so many loyal fans that continue to be with us, and we're incredibly appreciative, and we're pushing every day to get 10,500 in that place. And there's a lot of components to that.
Yeah. How do you capture that? You talked about the game experience, and I went to a game last weekend, the game against Montana State, and you know, there's, like you said, there's the loyal fans, maybe a little bit older crowd. There are people that seem to go with their friends, maybe fans who have been in it for the long haul. But I didn't see a ton of families. And is that something you're focused on? And like, it's one game. I don't know if that's a pattern or not. So I may be off base. But how do you go about capturing those families?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. There's a lot of things that I think go into capturing families. So we've done some value pricing in terms of concessions, thinking about the families of four or five. We actually changed our tip time, guys. I don't know if you noticed last season and this season. We've changed our tip times from 7 and 7:30s to 6s and 6:30s because we feel like that's important, particularly on school nights, to try and get families there. It's way different if you're getting home at 10 o'clock as opposed to potentially getting home at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And so focused on those things, I think we've got some nice traditions going halftime and postgame where kids are coming down to the tunnel and giving players high fives. Our kids club has actually grown exponentially here in the last 2 years. So we're focused a lot on kids and families. We're focused a lot on young professionals. We introduced a new season ticket package in the upper deck. That's the one of the cheapest season tickets we've offered in the last 10 to 15 years. And so we're trying to reset and hold firm our pricing. We haven't increased season tickets or say-so donations in the last 3 years because I think we had actually outpaced ourselves a little bit in the middle 2010s. So we're trying to do a lot of things to make it affordable, to make it enjoyable. We're hosting fan listening sessions, trying to do as much as we can to make it a great environment for as many folks as we can, because this is a really special place, as you guys know, when there's 9,000-10,000 folks in there consistently.
Final moments here with Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. I wanted to ask you about roster construction because you mentioned what a veteran team this men's basketball team is. Lots and lots of seniors. This is not the way rosters used to be constructed. And I think there was a general feeling all over the country that you wanted a real amount of balance in your roster. Is the transfer portal and the NIL and everything else that's come into college basketball, has it changed that philosophy to this degree, Kevin?
Well, Bob, I think there's more parity in sports because of the transfer portal, because the Oaklands are beating the Kentuckys in the NCAA tournament with age and experience. And certainly you can't paint the entire intercollegiate athletics industry with that broad brush. And yes, rosters used to be constructed with balanced freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors, balanced high school recruits. And I think what you're seeing nowadays is age, experience, retention, maybe are trumping the young people that are coming into your program, because it is a competitive landscape and coaches want to compete and fan bases want to be competitive right now. And building a team with predominantly young, high school, inexperienced folks is a building process, as we all know. But the transfer portal is a tool where the building process, as we know it historically and traditionally, is very much changed. And so we're excited that we're an older group. We're excited that we only had three go through the portal when the average team in our league had eight transfers out through the portal. Paul and I are firmly aligned in the fact that retention is the name of the game, because I think that resonates with our fan base as well providing you age and experienced players that can be successful. So we're going to continue to focus in that direction. And I think the sad part of our current environment is the high school student athlete is really paying the price for that trend and that shift nationally.
Interesting stuff. I mean, it's just so interesting what's happening right now in college athletics. We appreciate your insight. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bob and Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and go Shockers.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.